from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And once again, it's a Saturday afternoon here in the Eugene, Oregon area in the studios of KRBN Internet News Talk Radio with your host, me, Robin, there, Cliff. Hey, Cliff. Cliff.
Hi, me, Cliff.
Me, Cliff. Me, Robin.
How are you?
Oh, I tell you, reading articles as we're talking before the show about all these people and companies making billions of dollars And I'm just rambling here about working over 13 hours a day for my piddly little wage just so I can kind of pay the utility bill that went up again $10 a month thanks to whatever little programs that the city wants to spend where they...
Everything is going to go up. Everything is going up. The groceries... We went to the grocery store last week, and boy, things are going up like gangbusters there, too.
Well, I guess what really gets me kind of furious on this is that, you know, $10 really, it is and it's not a lot of money. It depends on your financial situation. But one of the arguments that Eugene is making for an initiative that they're trying to put through is that it's just $10. It's $120 a year. It's not that bad. No, but if that's all it was by itself. But you take, like gas is going back up again. You take some of the other fees and stuff that they're talking about having, then pretty soon the $10 becomes $20, $30, $40 more a month. And a lot of us on the low end of the income scale, that's a hell of a lot of money.
Well, yeah, just speaking of gasoline, you know, last week the national average for gasoline was $3.78 a gallon, or last month rather. This month it's $3 wait a minute, where am I going? I mean, a month ago, this time this week is $3.78. A month ago, it was only $3.31.
Mm-hmm.
And that's per gallon, though.
Right.
If you only buy 1 gallon of gasoline a month, that isn't bad. But you're going to buy hundreds, maybe not hundreds, depends on how much driving you do. But even if you only fill it up once, that's dollars. And that's every month, and it doesn't seem to ever go down. Well, actually, gasoline has gone down a couple of times, but it's going up ultimately.
Oh, exactly.
And be thankful you're not in California. It's $4.21 a gallon there.
Oh, yeah. And the question is why?
Well, I guess I can figure out why. I mean, because we have enough out of the earth to take care of ourselves. But part of the reason is we're actually, your argument is part of the reason why gas is going up. That's because they haven't figured out yet how to get their money with us using less gas, how the states have been able to make their money. So consequently, they raise the price of gas. And that's what they've done so far. To make their money, but they're going to have to come up with a different way to do it, ultimately. But basically, it's you know, the cheapest gas in the nation is in Wyoming, and it's $3.22. So we're not that far off of it. But it's just there's no reason for it exactly, not that I can see. It's just because we don't use our own resources. We still buy from other people.
Yeah, we produce a lot, then we send. We have a gas shortage, but we still give others to a lot of it to other nations, and we buy it from other nations.
The companies, the gasoline companies, the oil companies, are not American. They say they are American supposedly, but they're not American. BP is British Petroleum. Granted, it's an American company in America, but it's also sending its money overseas. I mean, I don't think it's just British that's sending it to Great Britain. It's they've got companies or offices all over the place. So they're international companies, and the money is going all over everywhere. It's not just the United States. So we have no way of deciding how much of the money that we spend for gasoline is kept here at home. It's going all over the place, and it's going to do that. And we don't have any say-so over that. So the price is a conglomerate price for the world, not just us. And actually, we're spending less money on gas, I understand. I don't have that information in front of me, but supposedly we're spending less money for gasoline than most of the countries are already.
Well, and speaking of going all over the place, let's tell people why they should kind of stay here for a little bit. First of all, you can call us live right now at 646-721-9887. If you missed today's program, shame on you. But you can still listen to it at on our archives, by the way. We are on iTunes, or you can send us an email and participate that way at talk@krbnradio.com. We got a lot of art on the agenda today. We're going to talk about, discuss, or how Cliff said it, discuss, and
Cuss and discuss.
We got to talk a little bit about cybersecurity. Cybersecurity. Say that three times fast.
Cybersecurity.
Yeah, if you don't have an excuse for your profession.
Yeah, but I'm old.
You're an old professional.
Believe me, it makes a difference.
Cybersecurity, we have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment for those of you who like that type of segment. And Cliff's favorite topic, dog cookies.
Meow.
We have all that and more, and whatever you want to talk about, then remember, call us right now. Do it now.
Anything you want to talk about, if you'll call us, you can change the subject. We'll change the subject to suit you. Now, of course, there are certain things that we won't talk about that are stupid things like I'm not going to get into what, because that'll give everybody an idea. But there are some things that I will refuse to talk about. So
that's right.
Cliff, not much.
Cliff has an opinion on everything, but the rest have limitations. But anyways,
not only that, my pin is right.
Dancing Dog Cookies are our sponsor for today's program, and you can check them out online at www.dancingdogcookies.com. They're handmade by Tom and Kathy in Eugene, available at local and flex stores in Lane County, and available online at dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Check them out, and if nothing else, just go look at them, because they're really impressive when you look at them. And again, as Cliff is famous for saying, hey,
how impressive can a cookie be?
Well, it can be pretty impressive, the fact that they're handmade and the shapes that they do and how well they do the job.
Oh, okay. All right.
You may go, oh, my God, that looks really good. My dog would love. Wait a minute, that's too good for my dog. I can't get that.
But all right, dog, forget it. You're not going to get any cookies. I'm eating them.
That's right. Cliff eats all the samples. Check them out, dancingdogcookies.com. And I got a what the heck. We don't do that as often as we should, but I got a what the heck for you. And, well, anyways.
You've got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, and what's interesting about the What the Heck Are They Thinking segment is that most of the time, Cliff doesn't know what we're going to talk about until I bring it up, which I do that on purpose because if I can get it all my gut out of him, then I know I did pretty good. This one goes to the Portland, Oregon TriMet for their new hybrid buses that they have come out with. They're going on the streets, and this is from KGW.com news service. In addition to the fact that the Gillig 3000 series bus is, you know, a hybrid bus, and the city is getting four of them, they have a little feature that most people probably are not aware of, and that is they are set up to record your conversation while you're riding the bus.
Oh, oh, no kidding.
Yes. The audio, according to transit representatives from C-Trans in Vancouver, the audio came standard with the new buses across the country. They said that the purpose of it is to improve tracking and security systems and to also maybe pick up any audio noise, like something maybe going wrong with the bus. But basically for security is why they are recording passenger conversations.
Interesting. And they are recording them, huh?
Yes.
Ah, I mean, they could have just turned it off. That's a possibility. Even if it is there, they could have turned it off and not bothered to use it, which I would prefer they do.
Exactly. Well, they're saying that recordings can be used during investigations into complaint crashes or crimes. Okay, well, unless they change the laws, audio recording, I believe, is more strict than video recording, and you have to be warned that you're being recorded.
So when you get on the bus, is there a sign?
The article doesn't specify that.
That would be interesting to find out if there is, because I agree. I found out that because you can use a device to record people having a conversation for a long ways away. Microphones are much better than telephoto lenses that way. And you are not supposed to do that. It's against the law to use that recording for anything. I don't know. I would get upset about that.
Well, exactly, because if you're on the bus, you know, especially in Portland, because in downtown Portland, using the TriMet is actually easier to get around from, you know, building to building per se, because Portland's kind of old. Well, it's old. It's not really designed for a lot of the traffic that it has on it. And so, you know, you're going along with your business partner from, say, one appointment to another, and you're discussing business on the bus, stuff that would normally be confidential. And now,
well, again, though, I have to again say, if you're going to discuss something that's actually confidential, something that you don't want anybody else to know, you don't do it on the bus. You don't do it in public. You do it. You find some place that you know is going to be quiet, because you know you don't know who's going to be listening. There could be your actual arch enemy, someone who has a business that is working against you, could be standing 40 feet away from you and hear you, or 30 feet away, or however close it is. I suppose if you talk quiet enough on the bus, they won't be able to hear you either.
Well, see, that's the point, is that if you happen to be riding the bus, and let's say you're in the back of the bus and there's nobody around you for five or six seats, you know, well, you think that you can kind of talk in low tone to your business partner. You know, the last thing you're probably going to think about being on a bus is that you're being recorded.
That's true. I wouldn't expect it from a bus, to be honest with you. But now I do. From now on, every time I get on a bus, I will indeed not say anything. I don't know. If you're going to go out in public, you're better off not saying anything that the public can't have access to.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's kind of a given. That's why the laws for cameras, you know, once you go outside your house, for example, you know, you are giving consent to be videoed or having your picture taken because you are out there in public. You don't have the privacy. You know, the only thing that the laws do say, though, that if your picture is being taken, it's going to be used in an article or something, and you are the center of the article, then yes, you must get a release. But I learned that from photography class.
Well, nowadays I notice even on the television, even the people in the background, if they haven't got a release from them, they blur them out.
Yes, exactly. It is privacy. Just like the laws, you know, I mean, you can put a camera in front of your house and have it pointed towards your neighbor's house, but you can't be zoomed in on the windows, per se. And same thing, like Cliff was just saying about microphone technology. You know, the shotgun mics can pick up sounds from quite a distance. The parabolic mics, you can even use a laser and bounce it off glass and pick up what's going on in the building. All those, by the way, comes under snooping, depending on how you use them.
And basically, they're illegal. You can have them for your own personal use, and you can listen to them for your own personal use, but if you try to broadcast them or do any other public use with that, you better get permission to do it.
Exactly. That's just like if we do a Man in the Street segment and we interview people. We have to tell them that they are going to be on a show, and by them saying that they consent to it, you know, by agreeing to answer. I mean, it's kind of obvious what they're doing.
Yeah, basically, it's kind of logical that if you're standing there with a microphone in their face, you're probably using it for something.
Exactly. You know, especially if it has the KRBN logo on the microphone, and, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, you know.
I got something I want to do too. I'm mad as hell.
Oh.
This
should be a new segment. Cliff's mad at hell. As hell.
Well, this is an Oregon thing. This is an Oregon. Grants Pass. A Grants Pass man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for killing a neighbor in a fight in the street between their homes. For killing him. 10 years is all he got. You've got to be kidding me. 10 years is all they got? He apologized for the death of 60-year-old Gary Salmon. Apologized? I don't give a damn about apologizing. You killed someone and you only get 10 years? What has gone wrong with our system of justice? You don't get 10 years for killing someone. You get a whole hell of a lot more than that. And I don't, you know, if there was a logic, but just says he killed a person fighting in the street between their homes.
But Cliff, he apologized.
Oh, boy. I tell you, I would apologize and put him in prison for 40 years, something like that. At least long enough that he's not going to get out he might get out in his lifetime, but not in time to do anything.
Is that kind of the same logic as we're going to give somebody that steals a car or, like you say, theft or whatever, 1 or 2 years, but yet somebody that smokes pot, 5 years?
Yeah. Well, that we're working on getting rid of that, I think. Our country is just absolutely absurd as far as our laws are concerned, as far as drugs are concerned, because there shouldn't be any laws like that. But the thing is, we've got to be more logical about how much time a person gets, because 10 years for killing a person. That's just ridiculous. If it was an accident, that might be one thing. And I even don't even see, but that's what's wrong with our country. We're having problems in our country because we're not doing anything about it. We're not giving any sentencing anybody to anything. We're just, oh, you poor person, you killed a person. I'm really sorry that you had to be, you know, you had to do that because we're going to give you 10 years for killing someone. Well, that's no problem. I'm going to go out and kill somebody else. You know, I'm pissed, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, the jury couldn't agree on a verdict of a murder charge, but they did charge him with murder. And one guy said it was self-defense because they were both fighting. But we should have the law should be hard on the person. Let's stop them from fighting. Let's not allow the fighting. That isn't necessary.
Well, how do you stop the fighting?
Well, you make them worried about it. You don't stop them in person at the moment, but you make them so worried about that they don't want to fight. They don't want to fight hard enough to hurt anybody because they're going to get put in jail probably for the rest of their life. And that's possibly the way, you know. What he sentenced one person to a term for life. I mean, he killed him, and that's pretty desperate. That's pretty exact. And so that means The other person gets 10 years? No, he should get the same thing. And whether it's, and I personally think it shouldn't even be in jail, but then we will. That goes to another story.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for an eye for an eye.
Well, and that, okay, that's one of the things, too, is that, property crimes, for example, maybe one of the things to do is an eye for an eye. If somebody breaks into your house and steals a TV set, well, the person that gets caught doing it forfeits their TV set, or, you know, the victim gets to go in and pick something of theirs.
Well, I that might be okay, except that I've got a really nice TV set, and I'm sure the guy that steals my TV set, I think I have a good one, so I don't want their TV set more, most likely.
Yeah. I guess, here's a term I haven't heard in a long time, PSAs.
Public service announcements.
Right. There was one that I remember explicitly, that a bunch of kids were walking home from school, and as they're walking by, they were breaking off radio antennas off cars. And what was interesting is that, you know, after this one kid that was doing it, when he split up with a group and got home, and the next scene shows him and his dad getting into their car, and he turns on the radio and it goes.
Right.
And he looks over and his antennas broke off.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, look, I get to break off antennas, and kind of cool, huh? Until it happened to him.
Yeah, that's okay. That's bad. But again, we're not giving anybody enough of a sentence and not enough of a deterrent to do the crime, because, you know, so what? First of all, the antenna that was broken up was his dad's, not his.
Yeah.
And so consequently, he doesn't care. He didn't buy it. He didn't pay for it. And so he doesn't care. He still go out and break off other people's antennas. You've got to make something that fits the crime. And we don't get anywhere close to fitting the crime with our deterrence. And so consequently, we've got to do a rethinking of all, I believe, the deterrence to crime.
Well, and maybe that gets back to, like you were saying, a combination of, like Eugene, for example, a couple of years back, the district attorney's office printed in the local newspaper 100 things that the district attorney will not prosecute due to budget cuts. Now, okay, first of all, what does that say to anybody wanting, you know, any criminal? Like, hey, let's go to Eugene because we can do what we want here because they won't prosecute us. They said right here in the paper that they won't because of lack of funding, they won't do it. And plus the fact, budget cuts are closing off beds, and so you just come in, spend a couple hours, and you're released again.
Yeah, and crime has gone up significantly in Eugene and Lane County because of that.
Exactly. And then people that are buying alarm systems for their homes, well, first of all, you have to have it licensed in the city of Eugene. And secondly, again, because of budget cuts, Eugene said that if a home alarm goes off, they will not respond unless the security company who's monitoring the alarm system, or a neighbor or somebody physically has eyes on the property, goes and double checks to make sure. Yeah, that's right. Well, let's see. There's three guys in hoods inside the home right now. They seem to have the homeowners kind of tied up. I guess that might be serious enough to maybe call the police, and maybe we shouldn't really get involved.
I guess I'm of a different inkling here. I believe if you're going to pay to have an alarm put in your house, you should have pay to have someone who monitors it and goes out and investigates. Well, you don't have to call the cops. Once they get out there and they've got the guy, you know, at bay, whether it be at gunpoint or however, then they can call the cops and have them put in jail, or even take them to the cops and have them put in jail. We don't have enough money or enough cops, and we're never going to have enough cops. Even if we had enough money, we're never going to have enough cops to go everywhere. So that's why when you put an alarm in your house, it should be a private company that goes out and takes care of it.
Well, see, that's the problem, is that generally the response time, especially in a small city like Eugene Springfield, you can pretty much count on from the time the alarm goes off to the time that an officer in the area gets there is under 5 minutes. So, you know, basically, if you're breaking into somebody's home, you know, you've got a quick five-minute window. Now, because that's exactly what they're doing, the alarm monitoring companies have their own people that go out. But, say, for example, depending on how many people they have on the street, they can have an alarm, like, say, on West 11th side of Eugene, or the west side of Eugene, and alarm going off on the east side of Eugene. Well, these security guards, you know, it could take them 10, 15 minutes to get over there. And then by the time they get over there, I mean, they're not law enforcement officers. They cannot go in and into the house with guns blazing. But all they can do is just go, yeah, it's a valid alarm. Front door is wide open. And
no, I don't think a policeman goes into the home with guns blazing either. But the thing is, that's the reason you buy protection from a private company. It's because they can hire enough people to have them everywhere. I mean, you don't have a person, all of them, sitting in a coffee shop at the corner of 5th and Main. You have them everywhere so that they're never more than 5 minutes away from anywhere they have to be. Just like a cop would never be more than 5 minutes away. They could even be out patrolling, for that matter. That would be a possible thing for them to do, and just as much as a policeman does. And they could be helpful in a lot of ways. And we should have, you know, if you're going to protect your home that way and have the money to do that, then you're going to have to pay for it. And if you don't, you know, if you don't pay for it with a private company, then make it available as you can pay for it from police. But then that way you could hire an extra policeman for it. I don't, you know, it's got to be paid for somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, alarm monitoring service, you know, at least the ones that I have in my home, you know, it's like $15 a month and up, depending on the type of service that you have, which is still a lot of money. When I had my businesses, it was even more than that. And plus the fact, you know, especially when I had my business, it had the license. Now, the license I can see a couple things is because of, depending on the alarm company that installs it, you know, false alarms, et cetera, so it sends the police out on a goose chase, and that's just poor installation, or somebody just not setting the alarm, or whatever reason. But the whole point is that you just open the window, and it costs a lot of money. Some of these security companies only have two or three people that are out patrolling. And even still, once they get there, all they're going to do is just say, dispatch, yes, this is a valid break-in. Go ahead and route the police. And then it takes another 5 minutes for a police officer to get there, assuming they're not tied up. And, you know,
I believe we should change that. We need to change some of our laws and our restrictions and regulations. That's one of the problems we have, is regulating everything, not only here, but all kinds of things. That's what's costing us a lot of money in our economy at this moment. But what are the regulations are killing us. We're so worried about protecting the guy who's breaking in that we don't worry too much about protecting the guy who's being broken in. We need to change our expectations of what we want from them a little bit, I think. And that's a whole different program that we could get into there, because there's a lot of things that could be looked into there.
Well, even the Obama administration and some of his gun control laws he's talking about, let me just read the small list here of proposals, which, of course, is capping ammunition magazines to a 10-round limit, banning armor-piercing ammunition, providing schools with resource officers and school counselors, and here's the biggie, putting more police officers on the streets. Well, one of the little tricks that especially Eugene is using a long time in order to pass some of their budgets is, in order to make it so the public will vote yes on a bill, they need to do it where it hurts the public. And so one of the most common tricks that they have used for as long as I can remember is cutting back on police and fire services.
And they're doing that nationally now.
Yes.
And it's just as bad nationally as it was otherwise. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They for example, the budget that the federal government is trying to pass right now, we've got these sanctions that we've got set up. We've got sequestered. And the money that's being cut They're taken away from things that hurt the most. I mean, it's only it amounts to as amount of 2%. Now, 2%, our government could absolve 2% very, very easily. But the way they put it, we're going to take it all on overseas people, bringing them back or not putting them there. I mean, they're going to make it as hard on us, the public, as it possibly can, because we're the ones who have to vote on it. But we should get smart and vote to just remove all these people from office. I mean, granted, we've got Obama there for 4 years already. We could vote to get him out. We could have him removed.
Yeah, but that won't happen.
Well, I know it won't. That's because we're too goddamn lazy. We're on a dead ass and sitting back and somebody else will do it. Well, nobody else is doing it. And so we're going to hurt for it. And if we're going to hurt for it, it's our own damn fault.
That's right.
I'm very upset about John Q. Public right at the moment because we're sitting on our butt and not doing anything.
Well, that's just like, I want to get to our main topic here pretty quick. Like we've been harping about Obamacare, for example. You know, there's already people starting to whine a little bit, and I just had my taxes done at H&R Block, and one of the things that they're doing is that they're, when you get done with your taxes, they're showing you the difference between how much you'd have to pay, how much you would have to pay every month for insurance, for the required health insurance versus the penalty. And either way, it's an extra expense to you. And when the Obamacare goes into full effect, the maximum penalty, this is penalty. Of course, I forgot to ask her if I could deduct the penalty off next year's taxes. Anyway, is $2,100. But again, and you still won't have insurance. And as in the conversation that I've had with my bookkeeper, is if you're working, say, half a year, you get laid off. Now, your income, of course, you know, is unemployment, which, of course, there's taxes taken out. And definitely, if you are making good money, you're capped at, what, $600 a week or something like that. Barely enough money to pay your bills and, you know, utilities and everything else are going up like we talked earlier. Now, but your gross income for the last tax year is a little higher than the limits so that you would qualify under the poverty standards for the health care law, so you don't come under the penalty. But now, at the end of the year, you know, you're struggling. Now you can't afford the health insurance, although you'd like to, but now you got this penalty you got to pay. And if you were expecting a tax refund, too bad, because the health care law is in the hands of the IRS.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
That's just like Ron Wyden saying, not Ron Wyden, but Ron White saying you can't fix stupid. Well, maybe we should pass a law. Because like they said, well, everybody should have health care. Well, let's pass a law. Okay, that fixes it. Let's pass a law that nobody can be stupid.
Yeah. The thing is, it's already too late. We got a whole lot of stupids in there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, some of them are in the positions of power that govern our lives.
No kidding. Almost all of them. That's why I'm so mad at us as individuals, as citizens, because we aren't taking things in our own hands. We aren't doing anything about it. We're sitting on our dead ass and letting it go, and we're just assuming everything will be taken care of. But the thing is, we're being eaten alive. I mean, we're going deeper and deeper. I mean, we're $6 trillion in debt now, and it only took this president 4 years to put us there. It took the president before him 8 years to put us $4 trillion in debt, and part of that was because we got hit with the 9/11 thing. There was a lot of it that had to do with that. And so, but it still only took him 8 years to put us $4 trillion in debt, and this president has put us $6 trillion in debt, and he's done it in half the time.
Yeah.
And he's got another 4 years to go.
And speaking of things that bring fear into your life, first of all, is 646-721-9887. I want to get that in there and invite listeners to give us a call. Chat room is open, by the way, if you would like to join us there. We appreciate that. And like Cliff says, we can change direction anytime. Anything that's on your mind, or if you are listening to us on the archives and there's something in the news you'd like to talk about, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Two words, by the way, Cliff, that brings fear, and at least into the fair to me and some others is TSA and executive order. And what the two of them have to do together is there's been one of the hot items in the news this week is the cyber attacks, which they're saying is coming from China. And so as in a response to that, they're saying that, well, we're not going to put sanctions against China. We're not going to do anything like that. But just like the 9/11, as Cliff just mentioned, we're going to increase our own security, like the TSA, and where Obama's executive order is for more cyber security defenses.
That's because what I've been able to find out is a lot of this cyber security or cyber consequences are coming from Russia and China. It's not us giving it to them. They're coming after us. I mean, we're just retaliating a little bit.
Exactly. Well, what the Obama administration wants to do, of course, is get more control of the Internet and establish a cybersecurity czar. He loves his czars.
Mm-hmm.
And my czar. Anyways, in order to, they want to share information between private companies and the government, so to speak, regarding security threats in real time. The thing that scares me about that is that, if you remember a couple of years back, the Obama administration wanted to set up, for security reasons, an internet kill switch. However, one country, I can't remember which one it was, that had a conflict going on. They tried to kill the internet to keep people from getting information out or in, and they found out it didn't work.
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, there were two or three countries that did that, but when Egypt had their big rise up and all their people in Tahrir Square and all that sort of thing, they did turn off the internet, supposedly, at least as far as they could. But
right.
You got to understand, you can turn off the internet. You can turn off the main towers. You can turn off the main transmitters. But when you've got it close enough, when you've got enough of the internet close enough that laptop to laptop they can communicate, there's nothing you can do about that because they are personal laptops, and you can't turn them off.
No, and there's also some people that have satellite internet. That's kind of hard to turn off.
Well, it's going to be hard to turn that off. But the thing is, even if you turn off, and let's face it, our people are extremely ingenious, but if you turned off the internet, if you had a little switch that turned off the internet, I, for one, would have a little switch that turned it back on again.
Exactly.
I mean, even if it's only just for myself personally, even if I had my own transmitter, I do have a transmitter right here, as a matter of fact. It only goes about two blocks, but I could certainly fix that, no problem at all, and have it go a lot further than that. So, because I don't even have an antenna outside, and I know that I have an antenna that I could put outside, and I could quadruple the distance of it instantly. So it wouldn't be very much before we'd have it all back on again, and so they couldn't do it in reality for any length of time. It just wouldn't work. It's beyond the control of any one government at this point.
Exactly. And this is from this is a press release from the White House itself, if you want to read the article. The order also expands enhanced cybersecurity services, enabling near real-time sharing of cyber threat information to assist participating critical infrastructure companies in their cyber protection efforts. And that's why I thought McAfee and Symantec, Norton Security, and all them were for, because they...
No, they don't share it. They don't share it. They gather the information and use it to try to sell it, but they don't share it with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're missing. The different protection services, that's fine, but they don't protect it very well either. I mean, they do enough for what they do, but we need more than that. But we're not going to, there's nobody going to do that. Nobody's going to share it. And in fact, and the government isn't going to either. The government's just as greedy as the rest of us are, if not more so.
Right. Well, of course, the people are, and this is my concern too about privacy, they're saying, quote unquote, that there is safeguards in place that will be based on the Fair Information Practices Principles, or FIPS, F-I-P-P-S, as they're calling it, and other applicable privacy and civil liberties policies, principles, and frameworks. Agencies will conduct regular assessments of privacy and civil liberties impact other activities, and such assessments will be made public. Yeah, just like the what was the promise that Obama made in 08 that the about transparency in the government and how before something was going to be passed would be online for 48 hours and I read the bill.
Well, I'll tell you, it's ridiculous because Obama hasn't. I'm almost. He hasn't spoken a legitimate word in his life, I don't think. He doesn't don't want to say he lies, but he lies. And consistently he lies. And he doesn't care. I mean, he thinks he's beyond and above it. He's better than we are. And I don't really believe he is. But at this particular moment, we're letting him be. Because, again, we're sitting on our butt and letting him be. And we put him there. And now, of course, he has a lot of help because there's a lot of people around him that are bolstering his, not his ego, but his ability to do things because it's to their benefit, too. Mm-hmm. And until we get somebody else in there that has a legitimate feeling of, I don't know, it's...
Well, it's just like you... One other word that kind of you hear a lot, you know, the buzzwords, comprehensive. Comprehensive immigration, comprehensive cybersecurity, comprehensive vacation trip. I don't know. But this is the last part of the press release here. I'll read the paragraph. Submitted to Congress comprehensive cybersecurity legislation, the administration continues to believe that legislation is needed to fully address this threat. Existing laws do not prevent the government to do all that is necessary to better protect our country. The executive order ensures that federal agencies and departments take steps to secure our critical infrastructure from cyber attack as a down payment on expected further legislative action.
Again, I'm going to go back to, I would love to have just as many laws as you want to build, as long as you want to take them off every 5 years and do them over, start over again. Because you got to get some of these laws off the books. You absolutely have to. We've got laws to do everything, and we don't bother to look them up. It's too much trouble to even look them up, even if it's already there. We just pass another one to do the same thing.
Well, yeah, and the part that scares me is, again, trying to look at the big picture. And, you know, when you think back of, like, the kill switch that the Obama administration wanted to put in for the Internet, and even an article, which got lost in my stack of stuff here, even Michelle Obama was saying there should be a kill switch for the Internet just to get kids outside and play more. But they're...
we need to put the kill switch on adults.
Yeah. But, you know, my question is, the cybersecurity, how are they going to do this? I mean, like with the cloud, we've said many a time that, yeah, the cloud may be a good idea for convenience and save you cost on, like companies, especially large companies, instead of having to have a network administrator and you buy all this equipment, you just go rent, like, say, space on Google's data centers and on the cloud. Well, the problem with that is that once it leaves your facility, you have no control over it. So
yeah.
That means in order to make sure that there's not going to be any cybersecurity, that the government is going to be paying more attention to the Internet traffic and what you're doing?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, we do have to have somebody else paying attention to it, because I heard just this morning there was a problem with Microsoft and their cloud thing. There was something that broke down in that this morning, and they had a problem with I don't remember exactly. It was one little thing that I heard on PBS this morning, and I was in a hurry and was doing other things and couldn't even listen. I didn't think to look it up. But there is a problem with it. They have the cloud, and things are in the cloud nowadays anyway. And they did have a problem with it this morning.
Exactly. And kind of along the same lines here, as I can get my phone to wake up again, is, my phone all of a sudden started insisting to, I have an Android phone through Sprint, and it started insisting that I do a software upgrade on it. I didn't want to. I don't like upgrades, partly because, like the automatic upgrades for Microsoft, I turned those off because I caught it one time that it actually wanted to install a little bit of spyware from Microsoft. In fact, when I used to work for an internet security company, we used to kind of tease that every time that Microsoft came out with an update, was the next day was our high volume day. Okay. Oh, it came back. Oh, thank you. But one of the things in the, of course, they have the same for agreement, but I'll just read the quick paragraph here, is that your wireless service provider has provided through a recent maintenance release the connection optimizer to help manage your connection. To facilitate the quality assurance and enable future enhancements, your wireless service provider will collect information about Wi-Fi networks you connect to, battery level, Wi-Fi usage, and network usage. And, of course, you can either agree with it and go into the settings and turn it off. But if I'm on my own, if I'm on my home Wi-Fi here, why does Sprint need to know what I do with the phone?
Because they can?
Yeah, because they can. And it, like I say, it didn't give me, I don't know what would happen if I said I don't agree to it. But that's just the whole point. I mean, again, a smartphone is just a small computer when you think about it. And
well, Microsoft has a thing called Azure. I don't know what that means. It's Azure Cloud Storage, and that went out this morning. That was what was out today, and it was out for everybody. And it was quite a large outage, so there was a whole lot of people that had storage, I'm sure, in that cloud and were not able. It's back on again already now.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to access anything. So, and if it had been at any length of time. Now, granted, Microsoft is such a huge company, and it's in Redmond, Washington, and it's they got so many employees that they can find a quick way to fix things, hopefully. But if something were to happen to it, it could be up for days and weeks and not have access to any of their information because it was stuck on this silly cloud. I mean, it's not that hard to buy a hard drive, for God's sakes, and put it in your computers. And hard drives are not that expensive. And you only pay for them once. You don't keep paying for them every week, like you do with these cloud things.
Exactly.
So,
in fact, to kind of emphasize that point, in Microsoft is coming out with a product called Office 365. And what they're selling it as is because it's hosted in the cloud, is that what they're selling it as, instead of spending $200 or whatever for Microsoft Office Suite and, you know, per computer, is that they're allowing you to subscribe to it as a service. So like for $10, $15 a month or whatever, you can, you know, do your documents, store them on the cloud and have them accessible to wherever you're at. But that gets back to the same thing. Actually, two things. One is that I like the fact that if I go purchase a piece of software, I'm only out the cash once. I don't have to have a regular subscription. And then what happens when you don't have the money and you can't afford to continue the subscription? In other words, why go buy a word processor and have to keep paying $10 a month or whatever to keep using it? And secondly, again, we're back to the cloud and the security for that.
Yeah, so this morning, people that were on that cloud didn't have access to their information, and it just everybody. I mean, huge amounts of people. I don't know how many people are on the cloud. It's a fairly new thing at this particular point, so there's probably not millions and millions of people. But this should be a fair warning to an awful lot of people that they shouldn't be on the cloud. They shouldn't be into that thing. I understand what it's doing. There are some instances. If you've got the thing on your cloud and you want to be away from your home computer for a while, you could, by using the cloud and having access to that information that's on the cloud, you could have it anywhere available to you at any time. Okay, I don't mind that. I'll go buy a little portion of the cloud and I'll put information that I want to share with myself or I want to have somewhere else. I'll maybe stick it on there. But I'm not going to have everything there. And I'm not, even the information that I put on there it's going to be available somewhere else, but it doesn't go away. It never goes away.
Well, yeah. In fact, here's a good example. Facebook. Facebook is, built themselves up. Well, people know what Facebook is. I don't need to explain it. And have become reliant on Facebook. Well, Facebook has been hacked. A lot of the apps that come in, like Farmville, or I have a few friends that I don't use Facebook that often. I will admit it. I very seldom check it. You know, I'm sorry. I'm lame. Just get into it. And I have a few people that want to add me to their birthday calendar or whatever. And I clicked on one of the things to say, okay, go ahead and do it. And the first thing that comes up and says, by clicking OK, you are agreeing to allow your personal information to be transmitted and used, blah, blah, blah. Well, I also have, in fact, if you can give me just a moment, I got a very interesting email, if I can find that real quick here, regarding a class action suit against Facebook and privacy. See if I can just find it real quick. If I can't, then I apologize. I'll see if I can find it while we're talking. But basically,
again, I have a Facebook account, but I don't have that information on my Facebook account. They're very upset because I never give any real information. I have my pictures on there, and the fact that I'm male, because it's kind of obvious. Very simple. Basic information that I have on there, the rest of it I don't have on there, and they get quite upset. They keep after me all the time to try to put all my information on my Facebook account, and it ain't going to get there.
Well, that's the same thing with Google and YouTube. They're wanting to start using your real name. Well, maybe I don't want that related to my real name, because just for nothing else, last week we did a show on employers asking you for your password for Facebook. Anyway, this one here is a notice of pending class action lawsuit against Facebook from Angel Fraley versus Facebook. And what it was is that the action contests that Facebook was using user accounts, using quotes from their accounts, using their pictures, and other information for promotional purposes without the owner's permission. That was like taking your picture clip and that you would have on Facebook and using that as a promotional thing for Facebook, and that's what the lawsuit contends.
Yep, I understand that, and they're saying, I have to backtrack a little bit, because if I put it out there, I'm saying okay. And I don't care if they update my picture, and my picture doesn't, nobody's going to care about my picture or want it. But, and by the way, this Microsoft thing this morning that went about, you're going to laugh when you find out why it went down. I mean, here's a national program that lost people information all over the world, went down because of an expired SSL, or Secure Socket Layer certificate. One of those things that I never activate them. I just put my stuff up there. I don't use them at all. But this was an expired SSL, and which was just something that wasn't even a person that did it. They just happened to forget it, and they lost all that stuff.
Exactly. Well, that's the whole point, security, like when you go on, do your banking, make sure it says HTTPS, which stands for encrypted. But again, I went through, I have a degree in networking, and I have an idea how that works, but it's so easy to hack somebody's communication. In fact, one of the things that we got when I was working for that security company is I'd have employers call and going, your software is catching my keylogger in my computer. I mean, it's working so good, but how can I turn off that feature? Well, keylogger is a piece of malware that it basically records everything you type, but you on the keyboard don't know it's doing that.
it's also more difficult to, I mean, I've seen the results from a keylogger, and it's a pain.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
It gets so much information that it's just crazy.
Exactly. But, and there, of course, there's always the filtering and information if you're looking for keywords.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like one of the other companies told me, and it was very good advice, that anything you put in an email, even if it's just private, expect it to be out there in public, to be read by anybody. Like even if I just sent a letter to Cliff, Cliff could forward that to 100 people or put it up on Facebook, and even if it's on Facebook for a couple seconds and you delete it, it's still there.
And not only that, I could forward it to 100 people accidentally. Because it's so easy to say, you know, when I'm sending you an email or something else, it's real easy to broadcast it. I mean, to send it to everybody that's on my email list or everybody that I don't have many people on my email list to begin with, but some people have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on their email list, and if they were to send it out, and it could go to lots of people. I've gotten email that way. Things that I have no idea what they're all about.
Exactly. And that all kind of relates to cybersecurity that we're talking about. And that's, again, one of my fears. I mean, yeah, the Internet should be secure from attack. It's just how you manage to go about doing it. I mean, just like, again, comparing it back to TSA, you know, there's an article, I just saw the headline, I didn't have it bookmarked, where the TSA apologizes for detaining and inspecting a kid in a wheelchair.
Oh yeah, a little girl,
yeah.
That was quite young, and they shouldn't have even done anything to her or about it. But I find that a little bit difficult to accept. I mean, they're saying that this kid shouldn't have been patted down or shouldn't have been inspected, and yet that I think would be the one that would, a kid that's in a wheelchair. You don't let that wheelchair go through unpatted, I mean, unchecked. I mean, that's where you could find stuff hidden. And that's, I don't know, there's, again, you're really, really, well, damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Well, yeah, it's just like, I don't want to stay on this subject too long. When I went on vacation last year, I was talking with a person that they're fairly well off. They're basically snowbirds from Florida. I'm not going to say the name of the company that they owned. But anyways, they do a lot of flying. And so I asked them, you know, about their experiences through security. And they said, well, you know, I understand it. But one thing that really kind of irked me is that in front of me, standing in line, was this Muslim lady wearing the full garb where, you know, you know, I think peering out is her eyeballs, and they just passed her right through. And then I was right behind her, and they stopped me and said, "Sir, you need to remove your glasses." I mean,
yeah.
Who knows what was underneath the hood? Sounds like an old car. Who knows what, you know? And I don't mean that disrespectful, but who knows? You know, your total identity is covered up. And it was Muslims that blew up, you know, the towers. And this guy gets stopped because he's wearing sunglasses.
Well, see, and in my opinion, we should stop this whole thing. All of this TSA thing, this whole security at the for that, because it should be. If it's going to be done, it's not the federal government that needs to do it. If it's going to be done, then have the airlines do it. Have them put their money together and have their money do it. We don't, our taxes don't need to cover that sort of thing. There's an awful lot of stuff that we should start doing as a society, not have it done by our federal government, because there's too much. Our federal government gets the idea that I can do what I want to, and I can do to you what I want to, because we have passed all that information and all that authority on to them to do whatever they want to us. and I said to us, because they're doing it right now. And I don't know. Our president seems to think he has free hand, and I don't think so.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, well, I just don't know. We said, you know, like I say, we'd like to think that they're looking in, out for our best interest, but, you know.
But we know they aren't, because at this particular point, we know good and well that most of these people in Washington, D.C. are there to be rich, are there to get rich. And most of them are probably rich already. But we've got to take control of our government somewhere along the line. And, of course, we're not going to do it right now, because we've already given it our control to the Democratic Party and to do whatever they want to do.
Exactly. And it's like one of the I forget where I got this saying from, but it kind of holds true. It's how much of your freedom are you willing to give up for the illusion of feeling safe?
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to comment on it. I mean, I'm not ready to give up any of it.
Yeah.
I mean, for the illusion. I know the illusion is not there, in my opinion. I don't believe that the federal government, any of them, have my security or my in mind when they're doing things. The only thing they have in mind is what they can get for themselves, and that's it. And of course, I'm only saying it because I'm jealous. I'm not up there getting it for myself.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give them any more than I absolutely have to.
Well, exactly. And, of course, everything goes back down to money. You know, just like, for example, if you have a free Google or Yahoo email service, you're going, woohoo, it's free. No, it's not. Anything you put in there can be used for advertising, and just like cookies in your computer, inventing dog cookies, of course.
That's why I own both ends of my email. My email is cliff@cliff.com. So I own both ends of my email. It doesn't ever get put publicly on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, it is publicly. It is publicly on the internet, but it's not quite as public as it would be with Yahoo or any of the rest of those.
No, are going on a national talk show and giving out your email.
Well, yeah, I don't care. We give it out on all the time. So, I don't care what people, I mean, I don't care what people send to me. I do care, but I unless I specifically know the person's address or the person on the other end sending me this information, I don't open it. I get 40 emails a day, and I only open maybe one or two.
Yeah, and sometimes they're even mine.
Yeah. I used to open yours. Don't necessarily answer them, but I open them.
Yeah. Sometimes you read them.
Cool. I read them.
Speaking of reading and opening and whatever, Cliff, we got 26 minutes remaining in the program. What should we tell people to do?
Wow, that's interesting. 646-721-9887. Why don't you give us a call and change the subject? Change the subject to anything you want to do. 646-721-9887. That's an easy number to remember if you write it down.
That's right. And something I've invited our listeners to do a lot, because we are getting a lot of people listening to us on the archives, and we greatly appreciate that. In fact, our numbers are growing exponentially. And what would be very interesting to hear from our listeners is, when and how do you listen to our archives? Because that helps us better serve you, the listener, and the community. Better bring out better shows and everything. how they say that on the radio, Cliff?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I was thinking the other day about this business of listening on telephones and listening on different communications devices, and I was, you know, because we have to make that available on those devices in order to have people do that. But and I originally thought, well, why would we want to do that? But if you're walking down the street, you don't have a computer with you. You might have your telephone, or you have some sort of communications device that you could listen to. And because, you know, listening to our show it is a vocal show. It's not a something that you need to see. So you can listen to it vocally and have the experience of that show, whereas you wouldn't be able to take your computer with you. So it's nice to have that. I mean, we should be able to, you know, because I know you've worked pretty hard in some cases to make it available on different protocols, I guess you'd call it.
That's right, because, while we're broadcasting live, you can listen to the show just by dialing 646-721-9887. The archives are available on Blog Talk Radio, but more importantly, and you can download them too as podcasts. They're also available on our homepage at caribbeanradio.com. But they're also available on iTunes. We got, I think last count, about 130 episodes that are available on iTunes. So we're out there. We try to keep it informative and entertaining and give you a reason to keep checking back, which people must be doing because we've had over 1,300 downloads just for last week alone, which is growing. And so, we do appreciate that. And the more information you can give us, the better we can help serve you.
That's true.
The listening audience.
Interestingly enough, we'd be more than happy to talk about just about anything you want to talk about. So give us a call and we'll do it live. 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887.
And as Cliff says, we do have some limitations about what we won't talk about. One would be bacon and also what we do with it.
Well, basically, it usually has to do with young adult type things where they're, I mean, I'm not interested in sitting here and listening to someone swear at me and things like that. So there are some things that I won't listen to. But it's almost anything legitimate I will go along with.
Exactly. 646-721-9887, 22 minutes remaining in the program for this and other things.
Maybe I should tell you about the 12 worst shopping centers. 12 worst shopping centers. So starting with number 12, that's number 12 would be the good side. Stop and Shop. I'll get it out. Stop and Shop is what it's called. Most of these things are not available here. That one is one of them that's not. Acme is not available here. And this is number 11. Ralph's. Now, Ralph's is available, at least in Southern California. I used to go to Ralph's all the time. That's the number 10 store. It's based of a subsidiary of Kroger, and it's the oldest, actually, shopping chain of the West. But they have mediocre everything. As far as the subject is concerned,
if you want mediocre products, mediocre service, and just mediocre in general, shop at Ralph's.
Yeah, that's right. Pick and Save is another one that's not available here. Food Lion is not available here, but Weiss's Market is not available here. Where to go here? Tops. Tops. I don't know. I've shopped at Tops, but it's not available here anymore. Okay, Jewel Osco. Now, when I was in Eastern Washington, they had Osco there, and they're really pretty bad. Their Super Value is who owns them, and they have been pretty sad. They don't have good and much of anything except price. Their price was very satisfactory. Everything else was bad, but their prices were good. So that would indicate people would still shop there. A&P, it's one of the largest food retailers in the nation, but they've been rated just fairly satisfactory, except for cleanliness. They were not good on cleanliness. Most people didn't like their cleanliness. Shaw's, I don't know who they are. Walmart, this is the one that we've got everywhere. And there's over 3,000 of them in the country so far, Walmart supercenters. And they stock everything from dairy products to homewares. They've received reviews that were poor on service. They didn't. They're poor on food quality. Their cleanliness was okay, and they had the highest of percentage of shoppers who experienced more than three problems. So they did get a highly dissatisfied thing on that. But there was number two. Number one is a company, Pathmark, that's not here. But Walmart was just barely acceptable on this list of 12 worst shopping centers. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Okay, a little side note. Something I want to get touched back on cybersecurity as I'm going through reading some more stuff on President Obama's executive order. There's a lot of information out on this stuff. Well, a lot of it is, you know, you can either go to news services or you can go to the source. And if you go to whitehouse.gov/cybersecurity, it's got a lot of information on it. And one of them is just a couple of paragraphs I want to touch on here real quick here. It's like, first of all, why one paragraph they call why is this important? And they say, and this is very true, cyberspace touches nearly every part of our lives. It's the broad networks beneath us, the wireless signals around us, the local networks in our schools, hospitals, and businesses, and the massive grids that power our nation. It's the classified military intelligence networks that keep us safe and the World Wide Web that has made us more interconnected than at any time in human history, except for fire, which back in the days we were hunter-gatherers. We must secure our cyberspace to ensure that we can continue to grow the nation's economy and protect our way of life. Now, here's where it starts getting a little bit TSA-ish. What we must do. Our nation's cybersecurity strategy is twofold. One, improve our resilience to cyber incidents, and two, reduce the cyber threat. Improving our cyber resilience hardening our digital infrastructure to be more resistant to penetration and disruption. Kind of sounds sexy, don't it? Improving our ability to defend against sophisticated and agile cyber threats and recovering quickly from cyber incidents, whether caused by malicious activity, accident, or national disaster. Where possible, we must also reduce cyber threats. We seek to reduce threats by working with allies on international norms of acceptable behavior in cyberspace, strengthening law enforcement capabilities against cybercrime, and deterring potential adversaries from taking action of our remaining vulnerabilities.
You know, interestingly enough, that's a neat idea, and it's all well and good, except that there are different reasons that we have a possibility of people coming after us. Russia and China, let's take those two. Russia's a very big country. They're a government of their own, and they do have people in their government that are constantly working at breaking any kind of a code or thing that we have, any kind of thing to protect us. And so they're doing it as a military espionage. They're doing it on purpose, and they're doing it constantly. China, for example. Now, China has a different reason for doing things. China's main focus is stealing the technology. They basically want to steal it and sell it back to us. And so they're both the big, huge, well, I don't want, I call them a company. They are that because they've got all kinds of people that are constantly working at getting as much information out of our sources as they can do. And they're both, well, I don't know how big Russia is at this point, but China is significantly larger than the United States. So they have a lot more access to resources than we do. And so, and India and a couple of these others that are constantly looking to get something that we have. And of course, they're all looking at us to get something that we have because, interestingly enough, we have the most to give out. We're better off than most of these other countries are. I don't know if we've worked harder or whatever, but we do seem to have the most to lose, and we're losing it.
Well, I think just like Michelle Obama's thing with dieting, like for example, this is from CNET. dated back July 10, 2012. Obama signs order outlining emergency internet control. The new executive order allows or addresses how the country deals with internet during national disaster and security, but also with a lot of power in the government's hands. I'm cold reading this. So.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, we don't have control like other countries do. China, for example, doesn't let most of our internet come through. They've stopped most of it, including a lot of the Google stuff, because that was one of the things that Google has been fighting for years, is to try to get everything available in China, and China doesn't want them there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's communications, which is how you control the government and what type of information you're putting out there. I'm not controlling the government, I control the people. You know, even just like in the wars, you know, the putting out, the government admitted, puts out propaganda because they want people to hear what they want them to hear, not the facts in a lot of cases. And a lot of times, strategically, that works if you're in a war, but other times, you know, but to get information, you want the right information.
Well, it's gonna be, strategically or not, you're going to have a problem getting it, because different countries are restricting certain different things. But a lot of countries are restricting things. Not all the countries are as open and as free with everything as we are. Our allies, Great Britain, Germany, some others, other countries are just not allowing everything to go through. But they're not going to be able to allow, or they're not going to be able to contain it entirely. Right. That's just something that they're not going to be able to do. And they're going to be less and less able to contain it as time goes along, because people are going to be prepared for it. People, like you say, if they want to get information, they can go to the satellite and download from the satellite. And people are going to be doing more and more of that, if that's what they have to do to make sure they get unimpeded access to the information.
Well, so. Just like the way shortwave was, you know, a lot of shortwave people even. It's interesting, like during one of the wars when I had a shortwave receiver, is listening to what is actually, you know, broadcast from overseas versus what our news services are talking about. One thing I wanted to kind of read here again in this bill from CNET, critics of the order are concerned with Section 5.2, which is a lengthy part outlining how communications of the Internet are controlled. It states that the Secretary of Homeland Security will oversee the development, testing, and implementation and sustainment of the national security emergency preparedness measures on all systems, including private non-military communication networks. Again, we're back to control again. And can you imagine if you had a TSA type style on your internet? In fact, on the other side of the coin, though, you know, we can't even control, or if we got control over all the I cleaned up my spam, my personal email, before I started the show. I've already got 15 in there, and most common is either somebody trying to sell me Viagra, or saying that my friend, or I have a friend on Fuckbook that wants me to join.
You know, interestingly enough, I know what you're talking about. I hardly ever get anything on Viagra anymore. I just ignore it and never open it at all. So I don't even. But I am getting a lot of things on, because Google, I'm sure, has ways of knowing what you're being emailed and what your email is. And even though I have private email, it's still got, they get information from it. So I get more information on different things, and it's more interesting. But I just don't open most of it, so I don't get so much anymore as I used to. And it changes as time goes along. Anytime I open anything at all, even by accident, all of a sudden, for days and days, my email is based on that.
Well, and what I was saying earlier is that I don't know how many people are into, well, most people, I guess, because they just go get their smartphone, or they go buy a computer. They don't really know really how much or what a computer, how it works, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And one thing that's very common, if you go onto a website you may sometimes have gotten the alert that, you know, you need to set up your computer to accept cookies. Well, then the question is what is a cookie? Well, a cookie basically is just a small piece of information that's put in your computer that when a cookie is used properly, for example, if you go back to that same website, it remembers who you are or where you were at that website. The problem is, though, that think of it like this. Cookies are very important to advertisers because, like, say, for example, you're surfing and you went to Amazon, say, at 10 o'clock this morning, and you kind of stuck around there, you know, butts around in Amazon for an hour. Then you went over to, let's say, CBS News and putts around there for about 10 minutes. And then after that, you went over to YouTube, and then you came back to Amazon, say, about 6 o'clock that night. Well, there's two references right there on Amazon about when you went, what time of day you went, how long you stayed there, what you did there. The fact that you came back to Amazon means that you're interested in what Amazon has to say. And that's important information. It also says, too, that, okay, another cookie, that you went to CBS, you're interested in news. What type of news? You went to YouTube, you like to do watch YouTube videos. Just those little pieces of information in the example I gave is worth a lot of money to advertisers.
I understand what you're saying, that it's worth a lot of money, but the thing is, I'm not sure it is anymore because, you know, I go there, but I don't ever do anything there, and I don't go back again very often. So that's kind of a waste of time to most of us, as far as I'm concerned. They don't get much from me. They don't, and I guess that must be why, I mean, I get a little bit of everything. I just don't get, I've got 15 different things on my email right now. Not one of them is Viagra. Right. Not one of them. I've got an insurance company. I've got a timeshare company. I've got an oil change coupon, Vistaprint, senior dating. That's interesting.
Yeah.
senior dating is on.
Well, too, by the way, folks, if you're interested. but the point is that it comes up with not only your internet habits, how long you stay for, and it helps. Advertisers, and also helps track information. Like, for example, because I'm a former truck driver, I do stay on top of truck driving news and information because there's a lot of new changes in the laws coming up. I get tons of garbage relating to truck driving.
Oh, yeah.
I've never went.
You never what?
And from sites I've never went to. It's like, how do they know it? Well, they know it from the cookies from these sites, and that's how they pick up my browsing habits.
Well, and these companies that get the information, if you may have only gone to one truck driving outfit, but they sell their information and to a lot of people. So consequently, that's where they get it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It is worth money to a lot of people for different things. I don't really care because you don't have to open them. That's the thing. I don't open. I only open, like, out of that stuff that I read you, the 15 that I had right there, I wouldn't have opened any of them.
Well, and too, when we're talking about emails and cybersecurity, read the terms of services. Now, most people don't do that. The EULA agreements and whatever. Yeah, I'm one of those weird ones that actually do read it. And like Yahoo, for example, because I do use Yahoo as my main email. I do have a Gmail, and of course, we got to. The one at talkatcaribbeanradio.com. But if you go in and read the user agreement, it says right in there that your emails are scanned for advertising purposes. Actually, it more says, you know, for better advertising enjoyment, blah, 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 blah. You know, and that's how they pay for the service that you're enjoying for free. So, again, be careful about what you put in your emails because, you know, if it's in there, it's not totally private, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's an interesting thing, too. You mentioned that that's how they pay for the service that you're getting for free. Well, see, that's why I'm doing mine the way I do it. I pay for it. It costs me money to get my email. So, granted, I do rent it out to other people, too, so I make money back from it. but it does cost me money. What some people are getting for nothing, I do pay for.
Exactly.
But it does, I do think it gives me less spam than I would otherwise get, because I only get maybe 20 a day of different things that I don't bother to look at. And there are some people that I know that get 60, 80, 100 a day.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, you know, it can get worse. I mean, it depends what you do, too. And of course, as far as the cybersecurity, we probably should mention that even though you get enough without trying, there are ways that you can actually get on the list and get really inundated. Like one of them, for example, and I learned this from when I worked at a security company, number one biggie, do not click on the unsubscribe button on spam.
Oh, really?
Even though it says that, you know, well, you're getting this message because you signed up for some type of service or whatever, you probably don't even have a recall. But here's what happens is that when they send out spam, they're sending out thousands of messages to whatever addresses. Some of them are just made up, you know, they just have a computer incrementing, you know, like Robin 1234, 12345, 12346, you know, whatever. And what they're looking for is whether or not it's a valid address. So if it gets bounced back, obviously it's a bad address. If it doesn't get bounced back, then the chances are that it's a valid address, but they don't know whether or not it's used. You click on the unsubscribe button, you just told them this is a valid used email address. Now you're put on a list.
Maybe that's why I don't get so many. I don't ever ask not to be on a list. I just ignore it.
Exactly. The other good rule of thumb is that when something pops up and asks you for your personal information, unless you went to that site and specifically asked for it, do not give them any information.
You know, interestingly enough, I don't even – like if I get information from somebody like PayPal,
right,
I never click on that. I also always go to PayPal by myself.
I was just going to make that exact point. Because you may get something that says that your password has been compromised. Please enter.
Never, ever.
People do that. Whenever
I made a mistake of doing that years and years and years ago, it took me 3 months to straighten it out.
Exactly. Always, you know, you get one of those messages. You know, your Facebook password has been compromised. Do not respond to the email. Go to Facebook itself and log into your account and check it, because that is one way that they actually get. They actually get your passwords and stuff by using it. And never, ever give out your password to anybody. You know, most companies,
really?
in the user agreements, they say explicitly that they will never ask you for your password. They don't need to. They have it on file.
Right, right.
But, again, people, they go out and buy the computer. Some of them just know that, well, okay, you can watch TV, you can do all this on the computers. And they don't really know the behind the scenes. Well, the internet is not a safe place. I agree with some things about security, but I'm also very hesitant about. I don't want our into the CSA.
Whoa.
Type of scenario.
I didn't realize we were running out of time. That's interesting. Well, interestingly enough, there's a lot of ways you can protect yourself, but there's a lot of ways. I just ignore them, and that seems to be the best thing at the moment.
Exactly. I mean, they get clever all the time. But anyway, speaking of clever, be clever and check back with us again next Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Again, your phone, your emails are more than welcome at krbnradio.com, and we want to hear from you.
Yeah, give us a call and let us know what you want to talk about so that we actually have a subject instead of sitting here rambling on.
Yeah, we'll talk about more stuff like stores and maybe different grades of toilet paper. So again,
bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.